City Current, produced by Dakota Media Access. In-depth discussion with Bismarck and Mandan city officials. Watch on Government Access Channel 602 HD or listen on KDAC 102.5 FM. Always local, always current.
Welcome to another Bismarck edition of City Current. I'm Mary Van Sickle, and it is Wednesday, July 26th, and we're here in the studios at Dakota Media Access, along with Jason Timonic, Assistant City Administrator for the City of Bismarck.
Hello, Mary. How
are you? Welcome. It's been a while.
It has.
A few weeks since we've been together.
You
bet. There was a City Commission meeting last night. Mm-hmm. There was some activity on a number of items, and I thought we could just jump right into some of the more exciting ones.
Sounds good.
Stormwater regulations.
Yes. Stormwater. Stormwater is a hot topic. Stormwater is an important topic as well. And really what we're talking about is managing runoff, stormwater runoff, winter melt, all of those features. And what you saw last night was a zoning ordinance text amendment, an introduction. So there are changes that are coming to the review process, things that are going to be happening with the ordinance that will help engineers, consulting engineers, developers, and city staff work together to maybe quicken the review process to make sure that we're doing everything we can to help development move along as quickly as possible.
Mm-hmm. And this was a consent agenda
Correct.
Item. And
yep.
Just for people listening to the program, if you're not familiar with the process, consent agenda items do not necessarily receive any discussion unless they're pulled for further discussion. We didn't get a lot of explanation. So last night was the consent agenda approval of this item. And then at your next meeting, the City Commission will be reviewing this and there will be a public hearing.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes. The action last night, the request was to call for a public hearing. It's part of the process. So the next meeting, August 22nd, there will be a public comment period relating to this ordinance. So if there's
August 22nd or the August 8th meeting?
I'm sorry. August 8th.
There we go.
Yes. Got my dates off. Yes. So anybody that has an interest in this particular ordinance, they can certainly come to the meeting, share their comments, share their thoughts, or just listen to the discussion.
And it's especially of concern, I would assume, for real estate developers, planners in the community that mm-hmm. are looking at new housing or commercial activity. This is going to be an impact to them. You've had some meetings already on these issues with planning and zoning?
Yes, that's right. And prior to even planning and zoning, I know city staff worked with consulting engineers, developers to make sure that their concerns are going to be addressed. Also, the Home Builders Association is paying attention here because there are some changes that could have impacts to the mm-hmm. way builders and developers have done business in the past.
And what has the reaction from the developers been so far?
I believe it's been very supportive all the way through. I know that there were some bumps along the way, but that's why we work collectively to make sure that we can address these issues before we do any changes that would have unintended consequences.
Sure. And why are you making these changes? I mean, what's the purpose in doing this?
Primarily, it's in response to some of the feedback that we've received so far. The stormwater regulations that we have on the books right now have been around for, I want to say, 10 or 12 years.
Okay.
And it's one of these items that we need to take a look back and make sure that we're doing best management practices,
sure.
make sure that we're up with industry standards and that we've got laws that are enforceable, but that they also make sense.
So if the public hearing takes place at the next City Commission meeting on August 8th, how quickly would these regulations then be implemented?
Well, officially they would be approved that night. So that would mean that
okay.
becomes law. So then we would go through the steps to record the ordinance and then it becomes official. But there are changes that will be implemented over time.
All right. Well, we'll look forward to the next commission meeting and see what happens at that point. Another thing on the agenda last night's City Commission meeting was downtown sign ordinance revisions.
Mm-hmm.
Those are long overdue.
Yeah.
They really are.
They another example of the city staff trying to stay current and being responsive to
sure.
the requests from the public with the influx of downtown development. We've seen a number of different requests coming through over the years, and particularly with signage, I don't recall the last time a significant rewrite of the signage ordinances have been done. So planning staff worked again with property owners, with the Downtowners Association, with local sign companies to make sure that what we're proposing, it makes sense for everybody. So there are a few things that will be prohibited. There will be a few things that will be allowed that we haven't seen before. So definitely changes to look for
now
there.
These things are always a little tricky. I mean, you're trying to balance a number of interests. Business owners want visibility. They want to be able to, you know, obviously promote their business and have their customers and clients see who they are. Sign companies want to sell signs.
Absolutely.
They have people that are they're employing in the community. But then there's that aesthetic downtown that we want to preserve and make sure that we're doing things that that contribute to a good quality and a nice aesthetic downtown.
Yeah, we're certainly not Times Square. We don't need that level of of signage and activity, but when done right, signage can be a complement to the architecture, to the features, and absolutely a critical part of a business owner's plan as well.
Certainly, Daniel Nairn, your downtown planner, did present this last night, and he did have a graphic, and I think Ben has that here for us to look at. For our listeners on radio, we apologize. We'll try and explain what we're looking at. But this this particular graphic shows at the top what we have allowed for signage, and then at the bottom what is proposed for the sign ordinance.
Yeah, and right now, looking at the graphic, you'll see that a predominant amount of the storefront, the first floor or front street side of the building, could be covered with signage. The proposed changes are really to be more consistent, have some continuity, and let the architecture speak for itself, but also have signage in an appropriate place and appropriately sized.
Right. And I think that the bottom illustration does show a rhythm to the street that's a little more comfortable and a little calmer, again, contributing to the overall aesthetic, whereas in the old version or our existing ordinance allows so much of the facade of a building to be covered that it's it's distracting.
Yeah.
It's too much.
Yeah.
So that's good to see. There were a couple other issues discussed beyond this, you know, the amount of space that can be used for signage. You also talked about pole signage and monument signage as well has been revised.
Correct. I believe the height of the pole signs has been brought down, and a pole sign is probably easiest described as it looks like a lollipop. There's a sign on top of a stick.
Okay.
The maximum height on that sign has been brought down from, I believe it was 40 feet down to 25.
Yikes, 40 is pretty high.
Yeah, that's almost three stories in a lot of cases.
Wow.
So more manageable sign heights, and then also monument signs. That would be something you would typically see placed on the ground in front of a building. You don't see a whole lot of opportunity for that downtown because we're built right up to the property lines. But there are some cases where buildings do have a courtyard area or a plaza area, and they're set back from the right-of-way, so the sign could go in that location.
You also touched last night on public art.
Correct,
And the proposed ordinance calls for public art only in alleys or on the side of buildings.
Right.
Is that how it was?
Yeah, and the intention there is to make sure that the facade, the main front side of the building, is preserved. And again, letting the architecture speak for itself. We're hesitant to encourage storefront owners to paint the building itself. We certainly don't want to see people painting brick that can damage the brick. In the appropriate locations, yeah, it's a wonderful feature. Is this something that gets tweaked over the years? Possibly, yeah.
Sure.
We'll see how the public responds to this.
Well, and if there are particular locations where public art or a variance on sign ordinance is required or asked, you can do that. You
Absolutely.
Can ask for a variance.
Yep.
So if there is a particular building that is more conducive to a piece of artwork that might be on the exposed side of the building,
right,
they can still bring it to the...
Yeah, the ordinance allows for some tweaking, some relief from the ordinance in special circumstances. So as this evolves, you know, the planning staff and the building inspection staff will certainly listen to the folks in the sign world and to the business owners to make sure they're responsive.
And there's public art seems to be exploding downtown. We've got such great... the Art Alley 5.5 is expanded even. I think next weekend, or next Friday... They will be having some sort of ribbon cutting for the second half of it.
That's right. Yep.
There's proposed project potentially on the side of the Provident building.
Mm-hmm.
A number of other up on the old Glance Salon is looking at the side that used to face another building and now is a parking lot.
Yeah. So there's a new canvas.
Right.
Yeah.
And something on Seeds of Hope. In that
yes,
area?
I believe so as well, on the backside.
Be nice to
the
see.
Alley side. So, yeah, it gives the local artists an opportunity to show off their skills, and it brings color and activity to downtown.
Absolutely.
So it's a win on all fronts.
Good to see. And, obviously, Dakota West Arts Council is driving a lot of that. Mm-hmm. Appreciate that. Couple other things on your agenda last night. One of them was another project downtown, and that's a Renaissance Zone project out in the west part of downtown, in the very far west corner, old Main Street Tire.
Right, the front door to downtown if you're coming in from the west. So we've got a local group that has purchased the building, and they want to rehabilitate a portion of the space. I think it's going to be a great opportunity. The renderings for the building look really nice. They've got some new materials that they're introducing, and it's going to be good to see more life and more activity on the west end of downtown. We've really seen some of the projects work their way past 3rd Street, which was kind of that unofficial
barrier.
Yeah. So we're beyond that. So that's great to see that there are more owners interested in fixing up these buildings.
Well, let's back up just a little bit. And the Renaissance Zone has been in the headlines for the last few months anyway in Bismarck. And now it's kind of settled. The dust has settled on the Renaissance Zone.
It, as we've talked about before, there was a process that the city went through to renew the Renaissance Zone program. And as of yesterday, we did find out from the state, the Department of Commerce, that we now have a full 5-year extension to the Renaissance Zone program in Bismarck. So we are truly excited about that. We're grateful for all the other political subdivisions, the county, the schools, and the park district. They all supported the city's request. We're thankful for the state to recognize the support, and we're really happy to have the program for another 5 years.
That's great. You also did a slight modification on the map, am I correct?
Correct, yes.
Okay.
We added essentially a couple of buildings that were overlooked before. These buildings have been directly adjacent to the Renaissance Zone, and what we're really talking about is the southwest corner of the Renaissance Zone. The building we just touched on, Main Street Tire, is now in the Renaissance Zone.
Okay.
And simply an oversight from the original creation of the map, planning staff worked with the Department of Commerce staff, and the general interpretation was that, yes, this building certainly can be added to the Renaissance Zone. So with our application for the 5-year extension, the request was also made to modify the boundary. So we'll add a couple more properties to the zone.
And don't you have the permission to modify those boundaries as needed? I mean, wasn't that the intention of the Renaissance Zones to begin with, that cities should be able to determine they have a maximum number of blocks, and those blocks can change over time?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And Bismarck has taken advantage of that opportunity, and when we look to change the boundaries of the Renaissance Zone, what we're really looking at doing is identifying the blocks that have been successful, the completed blocks, as they're called. So you see the buildings go through a transformation. You see most of the properties on those blocks getting rehabilitated. Once that's done, the program has done its job. So then we can close that block and move it to a different location and grab more properties that could be incentivized by the program.
So what is the maximum number of blocks that you can include in a Renaissance Zone?
I believe it's based on population.
Oh, okay.
And Bismarck, Fargo, Grand Forks, obviously, were the higher population cities. So we have the maximum number of blocks. I want to say it's 39, somewhere in there, 40.
Okay.
And going forward, I don't doubt that the planning staff will be taking a look at the program to make sure that it's reaching those neighborhoods and reaching those areas that could benefit from the exemptions.
Yeah. Well, let's go back to the project itself then. The Main Street, old Main Street Tire location is going to be revised, renovated to house
a chiropractic office and a fitness center, and I believe massage therapy is part of their plan as well. Their project, which is on the screen right now, also includes the former Junkyard Chic location.
Okay.
That portion of the building is going to be untouched for now, but it's my understanding that the owners are working with a number of potential tenants. You may see this project come back with a slight tweak based on who ends up leasing that space and the types of improvements that would be getting done there. So stay tuned. There may be a modification to this request as they go forward.
Mm-hmm. It's very attractive. And again, for our listeners on radio, this is the south side of Main, way down at the west end. The old Main Street Tire would be across from the Anderson Building in that area. Looks really nice. It does look very nice. And I see new life and new purpose coming in there. Would they be using the front part of the building then for parking again?
Yes, I believe so. And there may be some transitions there too. There's a couple of driveways that go in and out of the site. They may be able to modify that, cut it down to one driveway and increase the off-street parking. As we all know, parking in downtown is a premium.
And when one will fight that.
No, when you can add more parking for your customers, that's a great incentive. So another thing I'd like to mention, once again, we're seeing local people getting involved in this program. So this is not some out-of-state corporation or anything.
These existing doctor in our community that is looking to move down here.
It's great to see local residents that are making an investment in our community.
It's also interesting looking that they're adding some stone and some interesting elements to the exterior renovation. That's a really a pretty and a nice welcome kind of an earthy feel down there.
It is.
Some landscaping.
And I think it's worth mentioning that in downtown Bismarck, we have two unique zoning districts that require a higher level of architectural features. So nowhere else in town are you held to a design standard. In downtown, you are. So it's nice to see that they're working with a professional architect, that we're getting some proposals that are involve quality materials, quality design, and it really enhances the entire neighborhood for everybody.
Yeah, looks good. This project was approved last night, so it's going to start moving forward then.
Correct. There's one more step in the review. The application will be forwarded to the State Department of Commerce. They are the ones that oversee the entire program, so they need to sign off on the project. Basically, they review it and give it a conditional approval. That's the green light. That's when the owners can really start making
the
improvements.
How long does that take, Jason? What are you
Between City Commission and when the state gets its approval, it should be about a couple of weeks.
So
it's a pretty quick turnaround.
Could start this summer yet?
Oh, absolutely. I would expect to see some movement sooner rather than later.
That's great. We'll be watching that one.
The
other thing that's coming up for City Commission action is your budget. You're heavy into the budget process right now. This is the time of year. You're all in that. So what's the next step? Where are we at with the city budget?
City budget, we're, of course, meeting as staff. What we will be doing on August 8th is giving a primer to the commission, basically saying, here's the theory, here's the methodology, here's the steps that we've gone through for the budget for 2018. A very high-level overview of the budget committee and some of the recommendations that they'll be seeing. And really, that'll tee us up for the special meeting, which is set for 7:30 a.m. on Thursday, August 17th at the City County Building, Tom Baker Meeting Room, as always. That will be the official budget meeting for the 2018 budget.
That looks like the final process.
Correct.
Then.
Yep, that's all part of the steps.
Just should mention as well that that meeting, we do plan to cable cast. We will be televising that meeting.
Great.
We'll live stream it as well. So 7:30 a.m. on Thursday, August 17th, we do plan to participate in that. So and it will be stored online. Again, video on demand. We've got it all available for people to watch, and they can see that process in action. So just a reminder, too, that if you're just tuning into the program, we are here in the studios at Dakota Media Access, and it is Wednesday, July 26th. This program will repeat a few times before we record the next one. So just want to let people know I'm Mary Van Sickle. I'm here, and I'm along with Jason Timonic, Assistant City Administrator for the City of Bismarck. So a little bit more to talk about, a couple other things that are going on. One feature that I want to talk about, or another thing that Dakota Media Access is doing, is adding something to our meeting coverage that I think is kind of exciting. At least it is to our city department heads and other city staffers. And that is a process called chaptering the meetings. We are going to start. We always capture the meetings. We always store them online on our website. And I can walk you through that process and show you what that's going to look like, starting on our homepage at freetv.org and going from there to government access. We'll always find all those meetings. And as we jump in there, we get a lineup of all the groups that we do provide meetings for. Now, this chaptering feature, we're just starting, and we're just experimenting a little bit with it at this point. And so it's not necessarily completely in place right now. But we have the Metropolitan Planning Organization, which is a joint group of Bismarck, Burley, Morton, and Mandan.
And Lincoln.
And Lincoln, groups that are televising their meetings with us. And we experimented by bringing this particular, their last meeting, we experimented with this chaptering feature. Again, going to the Metropolitan Planning Organization, this is the first one we started with. And I'm just going to start the meeting here, and we'll just watch it. There won't be any sound here. But as you start the meeting, and it starts playing hopefully soon here, unless my internet connection is a little bit off, you can jump around during the meeting to, now you'll be able, here it goes. So the meeting is starting to play, but if you want to jump to a particular agenda item on our video on demand, you can do that. You can find that item, go right to that area and listen to that discussion on that particular item. So if you don't want to sit through freight corridors and you want to just talk about, let's just go to something really, there is school safety issues, you can just jump to that. So it's a new feature that we're adding here on our video on demand. And again, we're in a little bit of an experimental stage. The other part of it, the next step, is we're going to be adding lower third titles to the screen so you will know what agenda item you're on as well. So I think it's going to be a really useful feature as we go forward for lots of different reasons.
Yeah, I know the city staff that rely on the video playback to help with the minutes and the follow-up memorandums and things like that are really going to appreciate this because it'll be able to zero in on that one topic that they're looking for. Mm-hmm. So,
and again, the general public... things that apply to individuals, property owners, anyone in the community that's watching a particular issue can just jump to that now and look for that agenda item. We will maybe as a third step start adding documents and web links to those chapters so you can actually jump to the documents that could support that issue as well and getting more information. So
that'll be great.
Yeah, I think it's a nice feature. We were at a conference a couple of weeks ago, a national conference. One of our vendors that we buy all our playback system from, and they are a big part of what we do, have this feature now in place that allowed us to be able to do this. So we're looking forward to that.
Always getting better.
And adding that, yes. Just adding more value and mm-hmm. making lives a little easier for people as they're trying to navigate their world and find information. So I think that'll be a good thing. The agenda wasn't very lengthy last night. You had
a short meeting again.
Couple of things come up. I know that the Highland Acres group did appear mm-hmm. at the city commission. A portion of the property owners in Highland Acres are asking for an extension on a requirement to build sidewalks in their neighborhood.
Yep, and what our city engineering staff has been tasked with is essentially filling the gaps. There are areas of our community where there aren't sidewalks, and some of the neighborhoods were designed without sidewalks, some of them were built without sidewalks, but for several years now, this has been their charge from the city commission mm-hmm. to find these gaps and fill them in. And the neighbors, some of the residents in Highland Acres are asking for a little bit of time to explore the possibilities of creating a historic district in that neighborhood. Obviously, we've got a very unique situation with Highland Acres. It was one of the first neighborhoods to Bismarck that, I'll say it this way, was off the grid for mm-hmm. years. As you know, the old part
literally
of downtown.
Off the grid.
Off the grid. It was the east and west, north and south streets that always ran straight. If you're familiar with Highland Acres,
sure.
There isn't a straight street in Highland Acres. Yeah. And it was very complementary to the existing topography. The Jackman Cooley ran through there. There's a number of hills and sure. rolling topography through Highland Acres. So the neighborhood, when it was designed that way, was unique for Bismarck. And some of the residents are looking to preserve that character. The concern is with the introduction of sidewalks, it may change the appearance, it may change the charm that goes along with that neighborhood. So some of the neighbors will be working with the State Historical Society to really look into all the options that are out there.
Sure.
And their request last night was to simply say, please hold off on the sidewalks.
Give us some time.
Give us some time, and they'll come back with their findings, and that will help future commissions make a decision on how to move forward.
We'll keep our eye on that one.
Yep.
Couple things to mention before we wrap up. I think it's important to mention that the next city commission meeting, August 8th, will take place down at United Tribes.
Correct. This is the second year in a row that the city commission will be holding a meeting at the Lewis Goodhouse Wellness Center. It's in the southeast corner of the campus of United Tribes Technical College. And a couple of reasons, certainly, to help raise awareness. The 48th annual International Powwow is coming up the month following, the first part of September. So we'd like to help raise the awareness of that, but then also to reach out and to take the commission meeting to other parts of our community. So it was a good experience last year. We were, United Tribes was gracious enough to have us back again. So we're looking forward to that. It's a different environment. It's a different, it's a little different format that we use for the meeting because of the location.
Sure.
But still, we can cover all the important topics and go through all the material as thoroughly as we need to.
Right. There's plenty of room for people down there. So
absolutely. Public meeting, by all means, if you're interested, please come. I believe you guys will be broadcasting live.
We'll be carrying the meeting live, and we'll be streaming, so it'll be on cable as well, and video on demand. So
great.
All the same. All the same features, but just a little different location.
Yep.
So, yeah, that'll be great. And I'm sure you'll be sending out more information on that.
Absolutely.
Let people know. Just another update is the one-way to two-way conversion of Chancellor Square area in downtown Bismarck.
Here we go.
Yep.
Yeah, if anybody's been following along, there's been a number of conversations of what are we doing with the two one-way pairs, not 7th and 9th, but we're talking about 4th and 6th and Broadway and Thayer. Mm-hmm. For anybody that remembers, of course, it was Chancellor Square. We're referring to it as the one-way conversions. You'll start to see changes Sunday in the middle of the night and quite possibly as early as Monday of next week. The one-ways, as we know them in Chancellor Square, will be gone.
Everybody's coming into work, huh?
Yep. There will be some early mornings for some of the crews that are out there. And really what you're going to notice will be new signage on the streets, obviously directional signage, wayfinding. You'll see new paint markings on the sidewalks, not on the sidewalks, sorry, on the roadways, crosswalk indicators, all of those things.
Parking
will be a change to a different direction. It will be diagonal in the other direction. And maybe one of the big changes that people will notice is traffic signals. A lot of the traffic signals that we see in this area will be, as they say, bagged. So they'll put a cover over the traffic signal, indicate that it's out of commission. But that's where the four-way stops will come in.
So it'll be a test for all our downtown workers coming to work on Monday morning to navigate the streets in downtown Bismarck. Yep. Maybe we should be out there with some cameras capturing some good YouTube video and
I'm sure
could go viral on some things.
There will be some folks that will still be confused. And as we talked about before, there's people that aren't quite sure which way the one-ways go now. So some might not even notice a change.
That's true. And last on my list of notes was the drought conditions continue. Mm-hmm. We have a burn ban in place in the area, so people, please be careful.
Absolutely.
No open fires, no open burning.
Nothing.
That type of thing, and pray for rain, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. There you go. Well, I think we're ready. We're ready to wrap it up. So
Sounds good.
For being here, Jason.
Thanks for having me.
Take care, and thank you for tuning in to this edition of City Current.
For more information on what was discussed in this episode of City Current, you can contact the City of Bismarck at bismarcknd.gov or by calling 701-355-1300. If you have any suggestions, comments, or issues you'd like addressed in future City Current episodes, contact us at info@freetv.org. This program airs on Government Access Channel 2 and 602 in HD or on KDEC 102.5 FM radio. It's also available as a podcast on kdacfm.org and as a video viewing link at freetv.org. Thanks for tuning in to this edition of City Current.